I want each of you to tell me what the state of Washington lost when you decided to move away.
I think they lost someone who really cared and loved Washington State.
Born and raised in the Seattle area and love it, absolutely love it. My family's still there, but it couldn't do it anymore.
My backyard was the Olympic National Park. It was the Garden of Eden to me. That's where I wanted to raise my three boys and dreamed of spending the rest of my life.
Political flight is absolutely happening in Washington State and elsewhere. I think we're experiencing this moment in time where red states are getting redder, blue states are getting bluer, but there has been flight from Washington State, especially among those on the political right, for several years now, whether it's over the whole police defunding nonsense. There's a lot of officers who have fled the state. There's also people who were COVID refugees trying to escape the very strict lockdowns that we had in our state. People have been leaving over the tax and business climate. So we went to Idaho recently, spent some time in the Coeur d'Alene area, and we met with seven Washington State political refugees who I have to say are very happy with their decision to leave. Who is sticking by the decision to leave Washington? Raise your hand. Good decision. Is anyone having any regrets?
No.
So I want people to get to know you a little bit. Samantha, let's start with you. When did you move here and why?
We moved here in 2020, right when things started getting weird with the pandemic. Lost my job, had to put our dog down that one weird week. And we started driving, and we knew we wanted to head east, and we drove and drove and drove, I think 10,000 miles that summer, looking for places, and headed over here and loved Idaho.
Where were you living in Washington?
We were in Bothell at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you say you lost your job, was it because of the pandemic or because of government regulations?
No, because of the pandemic. It was a contract at Microsoft, and it had to do with training, in-person training, and so there was none of that happening.
Julie, Jim, our one couple right here. How long have you guys been married?
25 years.
25 years. And what year did you move here?
2023.
Why Idaho, Jim?
It's quiet. Quiet and, less busy. It's just like everybody else's, it's just gotten crazy.
How much of it was sort of specifically leaving Washington over any one issue?
I think the catalyst was, and I was the one holding my feet back, so the catalyst was my son and I and our dog were walking our normal insulated street, and we got hit with like gel pellets, and they were really painful. And I mean, I was looking to see, like, my life was in a real bullet.
It was the latest thing where kids, it was like a drive-by thing.
Somebody was like shooting you with gel pellets in a...
Yeah, they were driving by a car at like 30 miles an hour and just shot us. And we were just walking down our normal road that we've walked down for like, we lived there 15 years.
And where were you living?
Like about a mile east of Mill Creek. Very much cul-de-sac area, lots of sidewalks, everything like that. And it was like, that's when I realized, like, I'm too afraid to even go on that street anymore.
Wow, and had that been building, that feeling of losing your sense of safety?
Yeah, we had a park right behind our backyard with tennis courts and kids' play area, and we moved there when my oldest was like four, and all the kids from the four cul-de-sacs that surround it played there.
Yeah.
And then by 2020, it was all outside people, like nobody from the cul-de-sacs were there anymore. It was people would drive in, and it was kind of tucked away park, and people would drive in and to go over the tennis courts, and I mean, just wasn't even safe, just outside. We felt okay in our house, but outside our house.
Can you raise your hand if the public safety issues influenced at all your decision to leave Washington State? Heather, we are in downtown Coeur d'Alene. You have a business now that's pretty close to where we're sitting. When did you leave Washington?
We left in 2023.
Okay, and what was your main driver?
Well, we came from Sammamish, and we had lived there most of our lives in the east side, and it just became so congested and just tighter and tighter. The squeeze was almost unbearable. We just had to get out of the east side. Mm-hmm. So we just kept looking farther and farther out. We just had to keep going east and keep going east until we got here, and we just looked around and said, this is amazing. Why would we not live here?
Yeah, what kind of business do you run?
I have an apothecary.
Okay.
Which there's a lot of those in Washington and not so much here, so it was a good fit.
Yeah, and we'll talk a lot about the business climate and what's different. Kyle, I think you're our youngest person. 31?
31, yeah.
Wow. People might say, oh, retirement age people, they're going to go somewhere where the cost of living is less. But at 31, I mean, I think that's kind of an unusual age to decide to flee a state already. What was your main driver?
How much time do we have?
We have a lot, but the main driver, would you
say? I think that the main driver for me was the mishandling of the COVID, the 1,000 days of emergency power from Governor Jay Inslee was a big one for me. And just, it was, you know, the vaccine passports, the restaurants. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it was right after the pandemic ended 2024, and when my wife and I were like, we're done, can't do it anymore. So my wife got a remote job, and that's actually, I think we moved 6 weeks after that happened. It was kind of like our, okay, we can do this, we can make money right when you get there. I'm a bartender, so I found work right when I got here. We also visited during the pandemic a number of times, and we just fell in love with it. The sense of community, a lot quieter. People are extremely welcoming and nice in the city, so yeah.
Shadrach, I wanted to have what you messaged me on X. And I thought, I got to have him here because your story is extra relevant to what's happening right now in Washington State. So can you talk about your business background a little bit and what you were doing in Washington?
Yeah, sure. I moved to Seattle in 96, right before the internet boom. I went through every wave of technology. First, it was computer networking, then it was social media, then it was mobile, then it was cloud. And it was a great place to build a business. I built many businesses there. Some were successful, some weren't. Learned from all of those experiences. But when COVID hit, it was different. Our business was about to take off, and I had bootstrapped the business. I didn't borrow money, I didn't raise money. This is the first one I did on my own. And it took a lot of work. And then all of a sudden COVID hit, and the business evaporated. Mm. Everything went to Microsoft, everything went to VPNs, everything went to people working remotely. So everything that we were doing to try to make government software more efficient and create better collaboration kind of went to the wayside. Then as a business owner, you get a lifeline from the government. So you get PPP loans and you have the economic injury disaster loan. And for a small business that bootstrapped, that's a great lifeline, especially when you think it's going to be over soon. But then you sign up for a $500,000 loan that you're going to pay off for 30 years, and you're saddled with it. And I'm going to pay that loan off, just like every other debt I've ever had. But I didn't sign up for that. Mm-hmm. My youngest son missed a whole year of high school.
Yeah.
Very important socially, very important for his education. My oldest son graduated from Central. They didn't get to have a graduation. So these are all things that you can't get that back. Mm-hmm. I needed a place that reflected my values. Neighborhood, community, a handshake. Somebody needs help, you pull over on the side of the road and you help them. You have to feel safe to do that.
Yeah.
To have a community like that, that's why I came here.
We kind of touched on that, but how many of you lived in a place in Washington where you felt like you could count on your neighbors to help you if you were in trouble? Did any of you have that sense of community in Washington?
Yeah,
no. Maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe 10
yeah.
years ago,
yeah.
like
yeah.
a little longer ago, but not so much when you decided to leave.
I was there for a long time. In Olympia, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, in the early 2000s, it was a great place to live. But then all of a sudden I'm living in Tacoma and I've got somebody starting a campfire on my front lawn. You had to get used to the idea that if somebody broke into your garage and stole something and you called the police, they weren't going to do anything about it. All of a sudden you have people marching up and down your street, angry at you because you've worked your whole life to raise a family and invest and save for the future. And you're being told that what you've done is wrong, that you're racist somehow. Farthest from the truth.
Do we have any racists in the group? Anybody want to fess up? Because I said I'm coming out here, and everybody said, oh, I hope you find the white hoods or whatever it is. Tyler, you are married, and you have some young children. Can I ask how old your kids are?
I have a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 1-year-old.
Wow.
Three boys.
So you have four very important reasons to maybe have left Washington. What was the biggest reason for you?
Yes, ma'am. I got out of the military 3 years ago. We were living in Port Angeles, Washington, one of the most beautiful corners of Washington State. Crime. They put an Oxford house 3 doors down from us in a residential neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So it's a recovery house for fentanyl addicts and heroin addicts. They'd steal my children's bike off our front porch, their lemonade stands. The police were non-existent. Our jail was a revolving door. All of our city parks were overrun with drug addicts, RVs, tents, and fentanyl needles in the wood chips. And it just became something where we wanted out and felt desperate to get out. And we visited Coeur d'Alene last Thanksgiving, and we arrived here at nighttime, and we woke up the next day at Fort Sherman Park. And the first thing we saw was a distinct absence of dilapidated RVs, a distinct absence of RVs, tents, needles, drug addicts. There was a large police presence downtown, constantly. We felt safe for the first time in years, for the first time as parents. And my wife looked at me the first day we were here and said, we're selling our house. And we moved here last August.
I saw all the nodding heads. Oh, yeah. Do you feel safe here?
Yeah.
Yes. Extremely.
Yes. Yeah.
Is there any sort of homelessness presence? I mean,
no.
Do you see drug addicts on the street corners anywhere?
No.
And you're all mostly in the Coeur d'Alene area, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By Bank of America, we've seen twice since 2023, we've seen somebody outside with a sign.
So twice the same person?
It's very
no,
far
different person,
in,
but just twice with a sign saying, you know, help. Our realtor told us it's actually illegal to do that. So that's why you don't see it.
Wow. It's actually enforced the law.
Yeah. Well, because I think it is illegal in Washington in most cities, but I think it's a matter of
if
you don't enforce the law, then it's not there. What about affordability? Because there are a lot of people moving to Coeur d'Alene. I mean, I've seen real estate in Coeur d'Alene. It's not like it's super cheap to live here. But what did anybody like raise your hand if you felt, if from a tax perspective, that contributed to you deciding to leave?
Yep.
Shadrach, no? You're like, I love taxes?
No, I ran the numbers, and I probably, because of my business, I probably pay a little bit more. There's an income tax here. But when you look at all the other taxes, what it costs to license your car, your gas tax, definitely property taxes are cheaper. I think all in, I do pay a little bit more because of my situation, but I know that the money is going to things that align with my values.
Again, a lot of nodding of the heads. Does it matter if you were living in Washington and let's just say 30% of your income was going to taxes, or you're living in Idaho and 30% of your income is going to taxes? Do you feel differently about giving it to a government like the one here versus Washington State?
Yes,
definitely.
And why is that, Heather?
For one thing, the roads get fixed before they even need to be fixed. I see repaving happening for miles, and I didn't even realize the road needed it. Like, it just happens proactively here.
Samantha?
Was it? Yes, and the roads are plowed and taken care of.
Yes.
Yeah, and the money isn't all going into homeless issues, which I don't think are homeless issues, but yeah.
Well, because we're talking about, right now, this idea that people will leave over the income tax that was just passed. And it's on millionaires right now, but I think the prevailing belief is that they could lower it at any moment. But you guys moved from a state with no income tax to a state with an income tax. So, I mean, Tyler, for you, why was that worth it to leave a state behind with no income tax and come to a state that has one?
I'm in commercial building sales, and I definitely take a hit on my paychecks that I didn't when I lived in Washington State. I'm proud to pay taxes in the state of Idaho because Idaho invests in me and my family, our security, our safety. Whereas in Washington State, it felt like a burden when I would go fill up my car. My property taxes were astronomical. I feel like Idaho is much more veteran friendly than Washington State. I'm proud to pay them here.
Proud. Well, I don't know if I'll ever be proud to pay taxes. I hate the IRS. Yeah. However, I think that's a very powerful statement. I mean, Jim, Julie, do you feel that way about having to pay the income tax here?
Yeah, I didn't really like the income tax. We kind of did that also, did the calculations. But then when you think about the property taxes and the car tabs, I mean, our car tabs over there were $900. Over here, they're like $150 for 2 years. Yeah. And that includes a park pass. I mean, you know, and the sales tax is less. So all the other taxes, our utilities are less. So yeah, there is a little bit of a hit. And, you know, there's a little bit of deductions you can take on the state tax too. Yeah. So a little bit. So it's not a, you know, it's not a complete savings, but It's definitely a noticeable difference.
Well, I think that shows that the income tax isn't the only thing going on in Washington that would have people leave. Like, you're coming to states that have an income tax. Kyle, what about you as a bartender? Has the no tax on tips helped?
I got a great tax return this year.
Oh, thank you, Donald Trump,
thank
right?
You, yeah. Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah. Bartender, I haven't noticed much of a difference. Mm-hmm. How he says that he's proud to pay taxes. One just small example of the day that I moved here. We, you know, had a lot of garbage. We went to our house, unloaded everything, and did a huge dump run in my truck. Yeah. And I mean, it was full of stuff. And I go out to check out, and I put my card out, and they look at me and they go, actually, anything under a ton is free. And I was like,
oh, you don't have to pay to go to the dump?
No. Year.
Anything under a ton is free. Yeah. And I was just little things like that. And you just feel like your tax dollars are actually coming back to you when you do pay them.
Yeah.
So it benefits us. And yeah, I'm fine with paying taxes here.
I love that because it brings up something like, the second I came into Idaho, you start to notice things that are different, right? I want to know what's like one little interesting thing that you've started to like, that you've noticed that's the difference. Shadrach, is there any like random thing that you're just like, this is something that I could only happen or only see in Idaho?
Well, how about what you don't see?
Yeah.
Because you don't see graffiti. Mm, yes. You don't see brand new multi-million-dollar construction projects that are finished by the state. And then immediately thereafter, you have a grind tag on the overpass, and there has to be laws against that, right? But I think it's a matter of priorities. Where's the money going? What laws are you willing to enforce? What laws are you not willing to enforce? I think that most states have enough of a tax base. I think it's about priorities, and I think that you have to be pro-business, and you have to believe that creating jobs and having a community of working families is going to be the thing that lifts everybody up.
Yeah. Raise your hand if you currently own a business or have owned a business.
I'm in the process right now.
In the process of. Compare and contrast the two. You know, what is beneficial about having a business in Idaho versus having a business in Washington State?
Well, I think it's different for me because I have a software company, and so we license our software all across the U.S. Really, for me, it was more of a lifestyle choice, more of, you know, being in a place that I felt free to have my own opinion. The business climate for me, I don't have a local small retail business, so I can't really speak to that. I will say that our governor, Brad Little, one of the things that he goes by is, hey, look, if we're going to pass a new policy or we're going to pass a new law, we need to get rid of two. And I think it's a great way to really reevaluate what's happening in your state, in your county, in your city, you know, because things progress, things change. We don't need to just keep stacking rules on top of rules on top of rules.
Do you think about the government less?
Yeah, it's less irritating.
Maybe that's something you haven't even thought of, but like, in Idaho, do you spend less time thinking about what the government's doing to you?
We're less restricted.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I spend more time listening to you than Idaho politics.
But isn't that the way it should be? You shouldn't sit there and
stew. Because
we
don't have much problems with it.
So yes.
It's like, you know.
Yeah. Heather, from a business perspective, what would you say is the biggest benefit to being in Idaho? Is it like the gross receipts issue or...?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, the B&O tax obviously is a big one, but as a small mom and pop brick and mortar, that gross receipts I wouldn't be in business anymore.
Do you feel like they want you here?
Yes. Yeah. The Downtown Association has been really involved and they're so pro-business and it's fabulous to be part of a small town community that really supports local.
How many of you have kids? How many of you have school-aged kids? How did you feel about the state of Washington and its involvement sort of in the nuclear family, so to speak? I'm going to leave that sort of open-ended, but they're being criticized for attacking parental rights. They're being criticized for indoctrination in schools. Did your kids attend public school in Washington State? Which one?
Everett Public Schools.
And how did you feel about the public education they were getting?
It was awful. Yeah. Our oldest son is 10 years older than our youngest son, and our oldest son was encouraged to walk out during the Black Lives Matter stuff. The kids were encouraged to go be activists in the middle of school day, and I told him, I mean, he has our values, and so he's like, no. And so he didn't do it, but they were encouraged. And then our younger son, when he came in and he was in elementary. Mm-hmm. And luckily we have really strong values at home and we express them to the kids and why. They know the whys. And so he was able to, you know, push back some of the stuff, you know, that they wanted. But just the fact that they would give them, they would give them vaccines or something without parental, you know, notice, trying to talk them into things as they grow into middle school. And even the history books, you know, I read one once. My son was in middle school, and I said, well, I'm going to go talk to the teacher about this. And he's like begging me, don't do that, please. Just I won't believe it. Just just don't talk to them about it, you know. But so over here, we homeschool. And we did since COVID. And after that, finishing that first year of COVID, then we're like, well, this doesn't look that difficult. So we got into homeschooling, and our son is thriving, and all his friends are in homeschooled, and he's very social.
It's silly you even have to think about those things. Let me get to my child before my child's teacher gets to them.
Yeah.
We never, when I was a kid, which I don't think was too terribly long ago, I can't remember a time I ever knew my teacher's politics.
No.
Tyler, I know you're dying to answer that question.
Yes, ma'am.
Go for it. Unleash.
I took the history of Native Americans at the University of Washington, and a big part of me being successful at UW was not expressing my ideas or my opinions. We are told that the white colonizer of Washington State committed all these atrocities and all these sins, where Chief Seattle himself came over with the Suquamish tribe and the Duwamish and massacred the Chimicum Nation, committed genocide, was a slave trader, was a trade or slave owner. And we are told that the white man is only guilty of these sins in Washington State schools, the vaccine mandates, a number of things that I questioned. Port Angeles High School had a litter box for their furries.
Is that actually true?
Yes, ma'am, 100%.
Did you see it?
School administrators told me I worked out with them at Planet Fitness daily.
By the way, do they let boys compete in girls' sports here?
No. So. Not at all.
You don't think so? Is anybody in favor of that?
No.
It's illegal to use the wrong bathroom.
You know, I love, Jim, the smile that comes across your face. Because that is the smile that should come across of disbelief that we even must discuss this question.
Why do we have to talk about that?
Yeah. I think there will be people who watch this who just want to be naysayers, but who probably think you are all like right-wing mega extremists. And you just moved to a state so that you could let your mega flag fly. So can you rate, if you're willing, I mean, you did agree to a political interview. Would you raise your hand if you consider yourself to be very conservative? Okay. Raise your hand if you consider yourself to be like center right. Okay. Raise your hand if you voted for Democrats in Washington State at some point.
I voted for Obama twice and then Trump twice.
Yep. Obama twice and then Trump twice.
Me too.
That's a pretty, did anybody ever vote for Jay Inslee?
No.
Shadrack. Get out of here. We're done. Which, the first time or all three times?
Not the first time.
Okay.
The second time I did, I thought his first term, he did a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. Full disclosure, we sell software to the government. So I know a lot about the inner workings of government, procurement, policy, legislative action. I was actually approached after we won a government contract by Jay Inslee's campaign to come to an event. And I went to that event and subsequently donated to his campaign. And I kind of felt like it was expected. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you're a business owner, you try to do whatever you can to help promote your business. Yeah. And I did that in Tacoma. I put my best foot forward in every way, shape, or form. Founded associations for the startup community, recorded videos for the city of Tacoma, tried to really help promote that ecosystem. Yeah. So I think wherever you are, you want to try to put your best foot forward. I have to admit that I did support Jay Inslee's second campaign.
Not the third.
Not the third.
Why not the third?
It was really COVID that put me over the edge. I'm socially liberal. I'm fiscally conservative. I think that if we spend our money right and we invest in the right priorities, we're going to get the best outcomes for everybody. And again, that lifts up the standard of living.
Is there any, because I think there's this idea, you mentioned socially a little more maybe liberal. Mm-hmm. Is there any aspect of that you think is missing from Idaho? I mean, is there any aspect of social policy in Washington State that you valued? Wow. Samantha?
There is a distinct lack of diversity here.
Okay. A lot of white people.
There's a lot of white people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are we saying that's a...
Neither here nor there. It's just kind of, it's just something that just stands out to me. And, you know, like, and finding, you know, ethnic grocery stores and things, it's not really a thing here.
The food's not as good for that reason.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, but do you feel like this is a welcoming place? I mean, if I were gay,
definitely.
Yeah. Could I come live here?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you guys say? There's been a lot of comments in, first of all, is anybody even in the realm of possibility, would you move back to Washington State?
Unless the government was like Idaho, never.
Yeah, not right now.
No. Have to change.
There would have to be a significant political shift.
Massive.
Huge.
In Washington State. Is anybody like, I would never move back? Like, you're done. Wow, really? At 31, you're like, never ever move back.
I'm dying here.
Yeah. Yep. And is that more an indictment of Washington or more of a compliment for Idaho?
I would say both.
Yeah. What would you say to elected leaders, Democrats in Washington State, who are, as we speak, I mean, they're saying that people, it's overblown that people are fleeing Washington State. It's not going to happen the way the media is saying that it'll happen. What would your message be to them sort of denying this reality? Jim, Julie?
They're in denial because it's happening, and it's not just the rich people. It's everyday people.
Jim? What would your message be to Bob Ferguson?
Wow.
He'll watch this, you know.
Yeah.
He loves my show.
Well, you can stop with that tax. You know, it's pushing a lot of wealthy people out, and they bring jobs. And we just saw with the mayor, was it
Katie Wilson?
Yeah, laughing at the fact that they're leaving. So.
Yeah, bye, she said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? The people that actually contribute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Law and order. Mm-hmm. Really big deal.
It's like they're committed to an irrational conclusion. Why?
Mm-hmm. Why do you think? I mean, I think for all of us, we see what's happening, and it feels so, doesn't it feel obvious?
Yeah.
Like, wow, that's not going well. Why do you think there is such a large segment of voters and people in Washington State who just disagree with us? Samantha?
Biased media, depending on where you're getting your information from, I think has a lot to do with it.
Because we can complain in this room, but the truth is the voters are voting for that time and time again. Tyler, why do you think it is? Are we just smarter than them, or is something else going on?
Clallam County was the last bellwether county in the state of Washington, meaning for the last 40 years, we successfully picked the winner of the election. So it was very evenly split between Democrats and Republicans. Valuing your constituents, your actual tax-paying contributing citizens, is something that we just didn't feel like, and I'm by no means a millionaire. We have six other Clallam County families that have moved with us here to North Idaho, and these are blue-collar, hard-working families that have called the peninsula home for multi-generations, and they're uprooting their families for community safety because they can't afford to operate small businesses there, and they want to be valued. Faith-based community. I hadn't been to church in years. I go every Sunday with my kids now since moving to North Idaho. It's a really welcoming place, and I feel like that plays a big role in what you feel here in Coeur d'Alene, Hayden, and Post Falls.
Shadrach, what about you with, this is a reality. I mean, we are an echo chamber of our own to a certain extent, which is we all feel the same about the policies, but, the candidates we support typically get beat. So why do you think that is? Like, is it Republicans falling short and not giving something better? Or is it, like Samantha said, the media?
Well, I think number one, it's always turnout. Mm-hmm. I think there needs to be, people need to vote and they need to go to the ballot box. I think that's a big issue. Mm-hmm. I'm super open-minded. I like other people's opinions. I have to say that all the time I lived in Western Washington, I never really felt like I could truly speak my mind. Mm-hmm. And so my only message would be, if we're really going to be diverse and we really want to hear everybody's voice, don't shout people down. Let people express themselves honestly, earnestly. I think that's what the Tea Party movement was about. It's the first time I ever went to anything. because I felt like there was a time and place for me to speak my mind and that I would be listened to. But I really wasn't.
Raise your hand if you felt like you had to kind of hide some of your conservative beliefs in Washington.
Yeah.
And you did, like from friends and family. Here, do you feel more comfortable? Like you can be yourself?
I've always felt fearful of retaliation yeah. for my company.
Yeah. Well, because, and even now I kind of worry about you.
Well, but I think that you have to have conviction about mm-hmm. about who you are and your opinions, and I think that's what America's about. We're coming up on our 250th year anniversary, mm-hmm. and we all ought to be able to communicate civilly and debate. And I really wish more people would participate. I honestly think that turnout is a big deal. And I think that people just don't feel like they're heard. And so they don't really vote the issues that are important to them. And so I would just encourage everybody to go to the ballot box and vote. And, you know, listen to your neighbors. Listen to the people that maybe you disagree with.
And how many of you feel like Republicans in the Republican Party in Washington State is offering, you know, is up to the task, I guess, of trying to dismantle one-party rule?
I tried to volunteer with the Republican Party during the election, and they couldn't find a job for me to do.
That seems hard to believe.
I was very frustrated.
Do any of you feel like the Republican Party in Washington State is up to the task?
You're outnumbered.
Outnumbered. I want each of you to tell me what the state of Washington lost when you decided to move away. Because I think we go back to that statement from Katie Wilson, the buy, like you're, you know, kind of disposable. So Julie, I know it's a weird thing, but like, what did they lose when you left?
I think they lost someone who really cared and loved Washington State. Like, I never wanted to leave. I had lots of opportunities to leave before, and I never wanted to leave because it's so beautiful. And I think they just lost someone who actually cared about Washington State.
Jim?
Yeah, I'd have to say the same. And I was an outdoorsy person, did a lot of backpacking. You can't beat the Pacific Northwest anywhere. Yeah.
You miss it?
I miss
that
a lot.
Aspect of it?
A lot.
Yeah. Anybody else miss just the beauty?
I miss
mean,
the mountains.
Gorgeous here, but
yeah, the mountains.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that happened during COVID. It's like we like to go outside and do things, and we were restricted from doing that. Mm-hmm. We had to, you know, get a ticket to be able to go on the lift. You had to wear a mask. Right. Outside to go skiing. It was, it just didn't feel like common sense. And when you go on the trails in Western Washington, there's so many people. We got a lot more elbow room out here. It feels great.
Yeah, hunting and fishing opportunities are just disappearing by the day in Washington. So it's hard to enjoy like the one great thing about the state. Samantha, what did the state of Washington lose when you said goodbye?
My roots. Born and raised in the Seattle area and love it, absolutely love it. My family's still there, but it couldn't do it anymore.
Tyler, before we started, you expressed, you know, disappointment that you couldn't spend your life with your family in such a beautiful place. So what did they lose when you and your family packed up and left?
My backyard was the Olympic National Park. It was the Garden of Eden to me. That's where I wanted to raise my three boys and dreamed of spending the rest of my life. I'm an Eagle Scout. I wanted to raise three more Eagle Scouts. I'm a veteran. I wanted to raise at least a couple of my boys to wear the uniform someday. I'm a UW graduate. I'm very proud to be from Washington State and love that state. But I won't raise my children there, and I won't let them be brainwashed by the policies there.
Shadrach, what'd they lose?
They lost somebody that really wanted to help the public sector, the government agencies, hand in hand to be more efficient and to provide better services to their constituents. I still strive to do that today and will continue to do that. I'm just going to do it from Coeur d'Alene.
Kyle?
You know, when I was in high school, I always dreamed of living in Seattle, having kids and growing up there, and I guess they lost that. And I mean, I'm sorry, I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs, and now I'm starting a business here, and they lost the business I would have started over there, I guess, you know?
Well, it's something that isn't talked about enough. We talk about businesses that are going to leave, mm-hmm. but what about the businesses that will never begin? And mm-hmm. I think that's a good example.
Absolutely.
Heather, what did they lose, those sorry suckers?
Well, there's a lot of people that are really interested in natural medicine in Western Washington. It's mm-hmm. a big deal, and it's more and more popular all the time. they just lost a knowledgeable, educated practitioner that can help people heal naturally. I just, not available to them.
Let me end with this. Is there anything else you guys feel compelled to want to say to a Washington audience that will see this?
We're full.
Yes. You're what?
We're full.
Idaho's full.
Oh, I said, well, I was like, what'd you eat? What's going on? That's a very random, yeah, we're full, don't come. But that brings up a good point about who's worried that a bunch of people fleeing to Idaho will make it what you fled.
Don't come here and vote for those policies that you fled from.
How do you stop it?
I'd like to add on that, just as somebody who bartends in a pretty popular area. Most of the people I do talk to, they don't. They come here and they, I would say 80% of them come here for the right reasons.
Yeah. I feel like if you move, you shouldn't be able to vote for 5 years. That would include you guys. You got to settle in. But that is a real reality. And there's also other things that come along with a bunch of people moving to one place, you know, housing prices and all of that stuff. So anybody else wanted to add anything that we might have looked over?
Jay Inslee needs to stay in Washington. He created that. He shouldn't be allowed to have a primary. Well, some people are saying it's a secondary home, but I know he's from Eastern Washington, but he needs to stay in Washington.
He was in Hanlake.
Has anyone seen Jay Inslee?
I know someone who has.
Wow. You swear?
I swear.
Hoping to never.
Seen him in Idaho.
I haven't seen him, but my friend has seen him.
If he hasn't moved here and he plans on it, would you welcome him?
No.
Shadrach, you supported him once. Could he come?
I don't know him personally, so it's kind of a personal question. Anybody can come. It's a free country.
Ah, see. Very nice. It's very nice. I would have said, hell no. You said we're full. Well, thank you guys all so much for doing this. And from me to you, not for the cameras, I'm sorry that you felt the need to have to leave a state you love. That's a horrible feeling, and that's a horrible thing to have to uproot. And I hope you're very happy here. You all deserve happy, free lives.